Being seated, you can take your Bibles and find your place in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. And we'll be there momentarily. Over the last several weeks, we have been in a sub-series in our theme on being rooted and built up in Christ, looking at the thought of true worship, worship in the ear of God. And this morning, years ago, there was a book written by Jim Berg out of Bob Jones University down in Greenville, South Carolina, entitled, and this is the actual title of the message this morning, but Changed Into His Image. And as I was thinking again about worship this week, I wrote this thought down: worship that changes us. Worship that changes us. And I began to wonder, have you ever felt truly moved in worship? Have you ever had that moment where just in the midst of praising God and just spending time with God, that there was something deep inside of you that changed? And when we think about this morning the power of worship, it's not just in the music. It's not just in the lyrics, because, or even the outward expressions, because usually what happens is when we say something about the music or the lyrics or the outward expressions, what it becomes very quickly is just simply an emotional response. And God doesn't just want emotional responses to us. I mean, we could play the right music. We could play, you know, it at the right levels. We could, you know, tune it just the right way to where, man, it could pull on your heartstrings. If you ever went and seen a sad movie and, you know, they start playing the music and the people start crying and all of a sudden you find yourself there sitting and bawling like a baby. Why? Because they were playing on your heartstrings. It was an emotional experience. But that's not what we're necessarily talking about this morning. We're talking about an actual, true movement in our life. And, you know, we often think of worship as something we do for God, right? We come to church and we're here to worship God. But what if I told you this morning that true worship actually has within it a power to transform you? It has a power within it to change you if you will let it do just that. And so, yes, this morning, true worship not only glorifies God, but also reshapes us. It also changes us. It also impacts us. And it's through worship that we encounter God in such a way that we are never the same again. I remember years ago, we were there in Oklahoma, and we had Vacation Bible School that summer, our first one in a number of years. And I remember that at that VBS, you know, not one kid made a profession of faith. Not one kid came forward indicating that they wanted to get saved. And, you know, all that time, that effort, that money, you know, sure, it was maybe a little bit disappointing. And well, then I remember a Sunday morning service came, and one of the kids, they came in, and who had been there for Bible school. And that Sunday morning, I just happened, it wasn't even a salvation message I was preaching that morning. I was preaching from Exodus on what is that in thine hand? And how God can take anything we possess And if we give it to him, he can use it for his honor and his glory. And I guess, you know, we could equate that to salvation, that if we give him our lives, then he can use that for his honor and his glory. But I remember I gave the invitation for salvation, as I do, and this young lady, she raised her hand for salvation that morning. And so I asked Miss Debbie to take her to one of the side rooms. And that little kid, that Sunday morning, she got saved and born again. And so we went out that week and we visited with her parents, let the parents know what she had done, and asked their permission if we could baptize her. And they were excited about that and wanted her to get baptized. She was excited that she was going to get baptized. And so I remember that that within a week or two, that same week. So she got saved on that Sunday. She was going to be baptized the next Sunday. Well, that Friday, we had a bowling activity for the youth of the church. And we went out bowling. And one of the moms who had been attending with her three daughters, she said, well, what's this baptism all about? What does that mean? I'd like them to get baptized, talking about her daughters. And I said, well, let's go back to the church after, you know, the bowling activity, and we can talk about it. We can talk about what baptism is. And so that Friday night after the bowling was done, about 9:30, 10 o'clock, the four or five of us, six of us, we went back to my office at the church, and there we were able to lead each one of them to the Lord. And that next Sunday, we were able to, no, it was Tuesday. It was a Tuesday that we had the bowling activity. And because that Wednesday, this is what the point of this whole spiel and story is. Because that Wednesday, I remember we had Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study, and the girl was there, the mom and her kids were there, and we announced to the church that they had gotten saved that last night, and that all five of them, they were going to be baptized this coming Sunday morning. And I remember we went on with the service, we sang, we had the preaching, and then after the service, Brother Bob comes up to me, and he says, did you feel it tonight? And I just looked at him, you know, kind of perplexed, and he said, it really felt like there was revival here tonight, because there was a spirit of excitement over those ones who had just gotten saved, a spirit of excitement over those ones that had just committed their hearts to be baptized and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And even just to this day, one of those young ladies, she got saved. And there in Oklahoma, there's it's Something Baptist University. I can't remember the first name of it, but she went off to Bible college and went off to Bible college. And then one of the other girls, she messaged me here about a year ago and wanted some good recommendations on a daily devotional. So, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, that fruit that remains. And just to see folks who they let God get a hold of their life, and God was able to change them and work through them. And that's what we're talking about this morning, that type of worship, that type of an experience. And this morning, what we're going to look at, we're going to explore just how this transformative power of worship works in our lives. And we'll look at how worship leads us into greater holiness, how the Holy Spirit shapes us during worship, and how our ultimate goal in worship is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And so you're there this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And notice there, if you would, verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. The Bible says, now the Lord is that Spirit, And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see that phrase there where it says, are changed into the same image. That's the thought I want us to focus on this morning. Just very simply, changed into his image. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is giving a contrast. And he is contrasting the old covenant, which of course we know is symbolized by the law. And he is contrasting that with the new covenant, which is established through the Spirit of God. And Paul here in this chapter is emphasizing that under the old covenant, the glory of God was only briefly visible. But now, in the new covenant, through the Holy Spirit of God, we can now continually, forevermore, experience God's transforming presence. And so Paul here uses the example of Moses, who we know had to wear a veil over his face after receiving the law because the glory of God was fading. But in Christ, we have an unending access to God's glory. And as we behold his glory through worship, it's the Holy Spirit of God that works in us, transforming us into his image. And this right here, this is the essence of Christian worship, because it's not about a temporary experience, a temporary emotional high. It's about an ongoing transformation. So there's three things I want us to see from our text this morning. And the first being this. Number one, worship that works. Worship that works. And what I mean by that is that true worship transforms us. It leads us into greater holiness. It leads us into the reflection of Christ's image. And the first thing we need to understand is that worship, again, it's not just an outward action, but it's a transformative experience that shapes us from the inside out. And when we come into God's presence, our hearts are exposed, and we are invited into a process of change. Notice what Paul says in verse number 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 18, he says this. He says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so here's what worship is this morning. Worship is a mirror. And that mirror is a reflection. When you and I look in a mirror, it reflects us. Worship is the mirror that reflects the glory of God. And as you and I gaze upon his glory, what happens to us is we slowly but surely are transformed into his likeness. That's why you often hear me say that this time next week, you should be more like Christ than you are today. This time next month, more like Christ than you are today. This time next year, more like Christ than you are today. Because the closer it is you get to Christ, the more like him you ought to become. The more like him you ought to be a reflection of. Just as a piece of clay is molded by the potter's hands, worship is what molds our hearts. Worship is what molds our lives, shaping us into a clearer reflection of Jesus. And this is not just a once in a while experience. No. is a continual process that happens, as this verse says, from glory to glory. Because listen, as Christians this morning, or at least we should be, we are constantly moving forward in our walk with God. We're constantly going forward in our relationship with God, becoming more and more like Christ. And so true worship, because of that, isn't just about praising God in a service. It's not just about coming to church and singing a song or listening to a sermon or listening to a message or a Bible study or any of these things, but it is about reflecting and allowing God's glory to penetrate and change every aspect of our lives, letting God have His way with us. And so we see that it's worship that works. But then secondly this morning, we see the Spirit's shaping. We see the Spirit's shaping. That simply is the process of worship that involves the Holy Spirit working within us, shaping us, and refining our character. You see, this morning, true worship isn't something we can do on our own strength. It's the Holy Spirit who works within us to bring the change. Notice what Paul says in verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So here we have the key agent in the transformation process. And it's not you. It's not me. It's not a friend. It's not a family member. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not cleaning up our act. It's not being good enough and then coming to church and then coming to God. No, the key agent in the transformation process is the Holy Spirit of God. Because it's the Holy Spirit of God that empowers us to worship Him, as we saw last week, John 4:24, in spirit and in truth. And then as we worship, He works in us. He refines us. He refines our character. He makes us more like Christ. And we become more like Him over the months and over the weeks and over the years. And so we see that worship is a cooperative process. It's a cooperative process because we offer our hearts to God. And then God, through the Holy Spirit of God, works His transforming power within us. Think of it like gold being refined in the fire. The heat of that fire takes the gold and it burns away the impurities. It takes away anything that would take away from the gold. And then as the gold is refined, that gold becomes what? It becomes purer. And it becomes more valuable. Likewise, worship can refine us. And as we focus on God's glory, the Holy Spirit, it takes away the things in our hearts, the things in our lives that don't reflect Christ, leaving us more holy, more set apart, and more like our Savior. And so we see the Spirit's shaping. And then thirdly and finally this morning, we see Christ's conformity. We see Christ's conformity. That as we worship, we are increasingly conformed to the likeness of Christ, who is the ultimate object of our worship. You see, because when we come to church, we don't come to worship one another. We don't come to worship the pastor. We don't come to worship a man. We come to worship the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to worship God. He is the ultimate object of our worship. He is why we come together this morning. And the ultimate goal of worship is not just to feel good or have an emotional experience. I believe it was A.W. Tozer who said, "When my people leave church, I want them leaving church feeling miserable." You say, man, that's not a very nice thing to say. But then we realize what he's saying. That he wants them to feel miserable over who they are without a Savior who can save them and change their life and make them a totally different person. But see, too often in our circles and in our society today, people come to church wanting, as Timothy says, to have their ears scratched and to feel good. And they want to come to church having a sermonette. And listen, that's not what worship is. You know, sometimes I preach 20 minutes. Sometimes I preach an hour. I know sometimes you say, yeah, even the 20 minutes feels like an hour sometimes. I know. I was watching a video yesterday, and it was about youth pastors, and the guy, it was a joking video, but I felt attacked because of it. And he said, listen, people know you studied how to preach an expository sermon. He said, the Sermon on the Mount, it's 15 minutes. They don't need your 50-minute exhortation, you know, breaking everything down. That's my problem half the time when I'm reading scripture, when I'm reading a passage. I mean, I have so many books open and commentaries open and looking at all the context and the culture and everything, trying to get it all in the one neat little package. And, you know, there is such a thing as, you know, overstuffing something sometimes. But we don't come to church just to have our ears scratched or to have have ourselves smoothed to just go out and never have a change in our hearts. No, that's not why we come to church. The true goal of worship is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And every act of worship should draw us closer to Christ, making us look more like him in our character, our actions, and our hearts. Notice again what he says in verse number 18. Paul says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." In layman's terms, what Paul is saying here is that as we behold more of the glory of God, the more we are changed into his image. In other words, the more we gaze upon God, the more we become like him. And that is the divine purpose of our worship, that we would reflect Christ's character more and more. Because when we worship, we are actively participating in the process of becoming more like the one who we worship. The process, it's gradual, but it's certain. There's an old Sunday school chorus, "God's still working on me." And listen, for some of us, that's still true today. God's still working on us. God's still working on you. But as we fix our eyes on Christ, we slowly but surely become more like him. Every moment in worship is an opportunity to be reshaped into his image. You think about the sculptor and the statue this morning, and imagine a sculptor working on a block of marble. The block, it's rough, it's unformed. It doesn't even begin to resemble the beautiful statue it will become. But with each strike of the chisel, the sculptor, he carefully removes the excess. He's shaping the marble into the likeness of his vision. Over time, the block of stone is slowly transformed into a work of art. Years ago, I saw the illustration. I think I have a track that they made of it in my office, but it had to deal with an old violin and an auctioneer. And the violin, it had broken chords. It had seen better days. And the auctioneer, he was auctioning it off. He wasn't getting any bids on it. And suddenly they bid on it and won it and I guess paid a hefty price for it. And afterwards, the auctioneer looked at the guy and said, "Why would you pay so much for something so worthless?" And the fellow who bought it said, "Well, you see, I'm a violinist. And in my hands, I can make that violin what it ought to be again." And listen, this morning, you and I, before Christ, we were worthless. But he paid a great price for us. He gave his life on Calvary's cross for you and for me. And in his hands, he can take what some people would classify as broken and worthless and not worth the time, and he can mold us and make us into something special if we'll allow him to do so. In the same way, worship is God's tool to shape us into the likeness of Christ. Each time we worship, we open ourselves to his refining work. And listen, sometimes it might be a painful process at times. The Bible says that the Lord, he chasteneth whom he loveth. Now, sometimes he has to take, as my pastor used to say, he has to take the Board of Education to the seat of learning from time to time. But in the end, if we'll allow him to, we can emerge as something beautiful. Something that reflects the image of Christ. And so again, I come back to that phrase I wrote down at the beginning of the message. Worship that changes you. Worship that changes you. You know, if you ever felt like your worship is just an activity that you do once a week, it's time to reconsider what true worship is. You see, true worship is not just an act of singing. It's not just an act of praying. It's not just an act of coming to church and listening to a sermon. It's a lifestyle of transformation. It's a daily, ongoing process of being changed by the glory of God into the likeness of Christ. And so the question today is this for each of us. How has worship changed you? Are you becoming more like Christ in the way that you live and the way that you worship? Have you been changed into his image this morning? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand together to our feet.